some scripture. This is one of my favorite scripture passages. It comes from 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 13. And it says, "Now who is going to harm you if you are enthusiastic for what is good? But even if you should suffer because of righteousness, blessed are you. Do not be afraid or terrified with fear of them, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope. But do it with gentleness and reverence, keeping your conscience clear, so that when you are maligned, those who defame your good conduct in Christ may themselves be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if it be the will of God, than for doing evil." One of my favorite scripture passages is that passage. And particularly, I like verse 15. "Always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope." You know, when I think about hope, I think about that passage. Because when you are in the world, out there living your life, there are people constantly asking you for a reason for your hope. I remember one time I was riding on a train back from Chicago, and it was like 1:30 in the morning. I had been down there for some social function. Maybe it was a Cubs game or something like that. And I had spent the day with some of my college friends or buddies. And there was this woman who was sitting on the train. And the Holy Spirit had it. Sorry, no, I'm blocking the heat. I'm blocking the heat. The Holy Spirit had it that I would engage with this stranger on the train. And we got talking about what I did. And I said, "I'm a youth minister at a Catholic church." And she goes, "Oh, wow, that's interesting and that's neat. Tell me why you're Catholic." And this is like at 1:30 in the morning on a train home from Chicago that's supposed to get into Fox Lake at like 2:05 or something. And in the morning, and my buddies are asleep, you know. And I said to her, "You know, it reminds me of this scripture," right? That's what she was doing. She was asking a reason for my hope. Why am I Catholic? What do I put my hope in? And she said, or I said to her, actually, I said, "You know, there's one thing that keeps me Catholic." I said, "There's one thing that keeps me Catholic." I said, "It's the fact that Jesus Christ humbles himself not only to become man, but to stay with us, body, blood, soul, divinity, in the Eucharist. In every tabernacle around the world, Jesus is present in the Eucharist, and I believe his flesh and blood are in there. That's the only religion on the planet that believes it." And she looked at me and she goes, "Are you real? Are you for real? Do Catholics really believe that?" I said, "Yes. Catholics really believe that that is Jesus' flesh in the tabernacle. And that's the reason why we genuflect in front of it. I don't genuflect at my Wonder Bread counter at home. I genuflect at the tabernacle. And that's real bread. It's real flesh. And it's real bread, but it's real flesh. Jesus' flesh." So she goes, "Well, I don't quite understand that." And I said to her, "Well, let me tell you a story, because I've seen this with my own two eyes, but let me tell you a story." There is a place in Lanciano, Italy, called the Shrine of the Eucharistic Miracle. And I said, there was a priest who was doubting transubstantiation, that when he put his hands over the bread and wine, he said, this is my body that actually became Jesus' body, and this is my blood that actually became Jesus' blood. Okay? He was doubting, having severe doubts. Imagine a priest who had been trained and know, go through seminary, know, I don't even believe what I'm doing. Well, Jesus stepped in. In the year 700 AD, this priest, while he was celebrating Mass, lifted the host up. He said, this is my body, and he put it back down on the paten. And then he lifted the chalice, and he said, this is my blood. As he put the chalice back down on the altar, it was no longer under the species of what appeared to be wine. It was now human blood. And when he looked over at the paten, he saw that it was human flesh, like human heart muscle, on the paten. And I said to this woman on the train, I said, I've seen that miracle with my own two eyes. I've been to Lanciano, Italy. I've looked at that human heart muscle and that blood. And I said, there is nothing on the face of this earth that can convince me otherwise, that that is really Jesus' heart that we consume every Sunday at Mass. That is the reason for my hope. That's the reason why I am Catholic. And she goes, really? I said, really? I've seen it. And I pulled up on my smartphone the not only the picture, but then I pulled up the website. And I said, here, what's your telephone number? I'm going to text you right now all this information. And she gave me her number. I texted her the information. And she left going, I am going to look at this. I am going to research this. I never heard from the woman again. But I know that in that conversation at 1:30 in the morning on the train, Jesus did something. The Holy Spirit did something in that woman's heart. There was something there that was saying, hey, I better follow up on this. I better ask. And the reason why that scripture is surrounded with the sacrifice of Jesus, right? Like, don't worry about what people are going to say. Don't worry about whether they're going to make fun of you or whether they're going to persecute you or whatever. Speak the reason for your hope and don't worry about the consequences. And this weekend, I think we ought to spend some time thinking about what we put our hope in. You know, it's really easy to put our hope in something that is fleeting, right? Think about this for a second. If you put your hope in the fact that you're going to get a new iPhone for Christmas or whatever the new XR phone is, and you put it on your wish list and you really hope for the next 4 weeks that you're going to get it, what happens when you get it on Christmas morning? You open it up, your mom or dad gives it to you, or aunt or uncle, whatever. You no longer need to hope for it. You can't hope for something that you have. You can't hope for something that you have. Once you possess it, hope is gone. So the eternal hope that we have is heaven. The hope that we have is heaven. And guess what? I can't give it to you now. Right? I can't pull it out like an iPhone and say, hey, here it is, guys. In order to have hope, you can't have it. You cannot possess it right now. So what do you put your hope in? Is it temporal things? Is it grades? Is it the future vocation? Right? Is it, I want to follow this. I find myself saying this often to people. I want to follow this social script of, okay, I have to get good grades. I have to get to college. After college, I have to get a good job. And after college, I have to get married. Or I have to... Is that what you're putting your hope in? This social script that you have to follow that is being dictated to you by society and culture? Or are you putting your hope in Jesus Christ and saying, whatever you will, and yes, it can be pain, it can be suffering, it can be hardship, it can be all of those things. And Jesus teaches me those lessons every day. Like, yeah, I put my hope in the wrong thing and boom, it comes crashing down. Can't tell you how many times in my life I've done that. There are more stories that I could tell you, but I don't need to. I mean, I know that, you know, if I put my hope in this one thing, man, it's just gonna get better. No, it's not. The only thing that we have for certainty and to put our hope in is in Jesus Christ. And you have to be ready to give an explanation for that hope, right? That's a difficult thing. Right? So not all of us feel prepared or equipped all the time to be able to, at 1:30 in the morning, tell somebody about it. I wasn't equipped, but the ability just allowed the Holy Spirit just allowed it to happen. Because I do believe, and I've seen, but I do believe. So this weekend, and this, especially in this first week of Advent that we're about to celebrate, think about what you put your hope in and how that is going to affect your life going forward. And what are the little things you can do during Advent, this Advent, to put your hope in Jesus instead of all these other things that society wants to throw in.